Good morning, everyone. Hi.
Good morning.
Welcome to the House of the Lord. We're glad that you're here. It's a little dreary outside. It was sprinkling rain when I left Frederick, but we praise God for the warmth and the dry atmosphere that we have here inside and opportunity to gather together. We want to just cover any announcements that we need to make here before we begin. So does anyone have announcements to add to the back of the bulletin?
Two of them I know of. Uh-huh. Check your mailboxes before you leave today. The newsletters are in there. And also, birthday Sunday, the treats on the back bench. Take a treat with you when you go back or when you leave today.
Yes, everyone help themselves to a cookie there, I believe.
Yeah.
Can we just see a show of hands who has birthdays in September? Anyone here this morning? Pat? Great. And
Michelle?
Great. Wonderful. Well, why don't we sing Happy Birthday?
Yep.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. And the cookies there on the back. Bob, do you have any other announcements?
The only thing I have is please check your mailboxes. The newsletters are in there and some cords are in the various boxes.
Thank you. And you'll see there's a couple announcements there on the back of your bulletin. We have the collection for the Heifer Project. The jar container there is in the back. Please make yourself available to that. And also the calendars. Deb's collecting for the calendar. So if you're interested, please sign up. And so we want to encourage that. These make great Christmas gifts. Yes, Christmas is coming. And also, our district conference is virtual this year, and so you can see more information about that on the bulletin board as well. There'll be a call on October the 9th, which is a Saturday morning, from 10 to 9. If you care to join in, hear what's happening in our district, and also Kevin King, the pastor at Frederick Church, will be delivering the message. It is also the High Holy Days. We're beginning for the nation of Israel, and you'll be hearing Yom Kippur begins here this week. It is the Jewish New Year, the Feast of the Trumpets, and then also then shortly after will be the Shavuot, Yom Kippur, and of course Hanukkah. So this is known as the High Holy Days, and we want to just keep our Jewish brethren in our thoughts and prayers. Any other announcements? Let's begin our worship. Jerry? Our call to worship this morning comes from Psalms 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, we do give you thanks and praise this morning. It is good to be in your house today, and we are mindful of all your many blessings to us, O Lord. So how can we not praise you? We pray that you would move in our midst, Lord. We invite your Holy Spirit to be present and help us to worship you and to praise your holy name. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll stand and sing our first hymn, is number 148.
Amen.
You may be seated. We always want to take time to pray together, and so before we do so, to hear joys and concerns. Anyone have a joy this morning?
My daughter and her husband are up, staying with me, and my sister is up in Tennessee, and they're going back. My sister's going back tomorrow, my daughter and her husband going back on Tuesday. So I haven't seen them for just over 2 years.
Wonderful.
So
wonderful.
Just pray that they get back safely.
Yeah, traveling mercies. Okay. Yes.
I like to keep Lottie's family in prayer.
Okay. Prayers for Lottie. Yes, Bob.
I've got a few here. I'd like to keep my wife in the prayer concerns. She and I both had this COVID a month ago, and she gets a lot of leg pain right now. And we're just she's trying to conquer that, and just want to lift her up. But our other son, Larry, he's had a diagnosis. And
prayers for Larry.
You need our prayer too. Then let's think of Steve Wolf. It's been confronted with so much back trouble down here as well, and can't seem to find comfort. It's not easy. That back's a crazy thing. And Alan Baker, he seems to be making some improvements, so we thank God for his precious hand of care there. And all those that have worked and made this Labor Day possible, that we can today enjoy it with the conscious of knowing that those men put out the hardest work and the efforts to allow us to have that freedom. Then there's Wilton and Tammy and the family, and Wilton's continuing to have struggles with his back and can't seem to find a solution either. And I want to Craig Hoovermill, who's an electrician here in the area, a good Christian man, and he had COVID as well. He's back home now, and we just pray he continues to mend. And Debbie Ayers, she's had some digestive problems, and want to lift her up and may her body continue to heal. And of course, Brad, we can't forget him. He's not here today, but he's in Kentucky visiting his daughter. So I want to lift him up, and I think he's not coming back till Wednesday. So
wonderful.
Let's just pray for a travel emergency. Our church, our ministry, you, Tracy, and all who come and care and serve our Lord and Savior.
Thank you.
I'd like to add to that Ricky's wife, Jim.
Yes.
I'm sure she needs our prayers continuously because she's been suffering. And I want to thank the good Lord that at least we survived the hurricane that went through. I know there's a lot of damage being done, but
yes.
And there's lives lost. But at least thank the good Lord he's seen most of us through. And that's why we're here this morning.
Yes. Lots of flooding and damage, no electricity down south, so lots of people in need.
Keep those folks in our prayers and our thoughts.
Others. Yes, Jeff?
All those troops that did get out and got hurt over there, we need to keep them in our prayers. And as far as the people who are there now, also.
The situation in Afghanistan,
it's
yes.
It's just horrible.
Anyone else?
I'm just going to keep my list.
Okay.
And as well, Deb's not here today, but Deb's list as well. God knows who they are.
Yes. And we received word this morning that my daughter-in-law's great uncle is not expected to live. He has COP and came down with COVID, and so they have put him on hospice. His name is Bruce. Others? Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Father God in heaven, we do thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your spirit. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the many blessings, Lord, that we've experienced this past week. And we thank you, Father, for family, for health, for traveling mercies. And we just ask, Lord, you would continue to bless. Thank you for this holiday weekend, Lord. We're mindful that it wasn't a time too long ago when people had to work 6-7 days a week. And we are grateful, Lord, for a chance to enjoy time with their family and friends. And Lord, we think of the high holy days that are beginning, Lord, and we just ask your blessings as our brethren celebrate this new year. And we pray that it be a good year, Lord. And so we remember the many things that are going on in our world today, Lord. We ask that you might move mightily. We think of those things that are close to home, first of all, Lord. And so we just ask your blessings on family and that you would keep loved ones safe as they travel. We think of those who have lost loved ones. We pray for your hand of comfort to be upon them. For those that are struggling, Lord, with health symptoms, we just pray that you would bring healing, that you would reduce pain, that you would help those that are weak to be strong again. So be with Linda and Larry and Steve, with Alan, with Wilton and Craig. Be with Debbie, and we ask, Lord, your blessings with Jen. And we think of those that are struggling with the recent storm here, Ida. Lord, this is, again, another major storm that has hit the area, and particularly down south. After Katrina, 16 years, they hit again. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would comfort those who lost loved ones. We pray that you would help those that are mucking out and trying to repair damage. We pray, Lord, for the blessing of that you have given with the first responders. Thank you for those who have put their lives in line to rescue others. And Lord, we just think of so many that are dealing with great tragedy and don't even know where to begin. Maybe some have lost everything. And so, Lord, provide. We pray for rain for out west, Lord, that you would end the forest fires. We pray you'd keep our fire protection people safe as they battle these tremendous blazes. Lord, there's so many on our hearts and our minds, so each of us have lists, and we just bring them all before your throne of grace today. God, we are mindful that you are a good Heavenly Father and that you will continue to move mightily. And so thank you, Father, for your blessings. Thank you for your word. And we pray, Lord, hedge protection around each one here today, each family member. I think of Sister Dolores. Just a couple years ago, her son passed away. And so pray you would just comfort her and surround her with your love this weekend. We think of, Lord, of others who have just gone through great tragedy, maybe because of COVID or other things that are going on. Help them to know that they can turn to you. And so we cry out to you, Lord, that you might move in a tremendous way in these difficult days. And we ask all of these things, and as we pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We'll share together here in another hymn, and it is number 497.
Yeah.
Our scripture reading for today comes from Mark, and you can follow along in your bulletin. Again, departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon, he came through the midst of the region of Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee. Then he brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him. And he took him aside from the multitude, and put his fingers in his ears, and he spat, and touched his tongue. Then, looking up to heaven, he sighed, and he said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." Immediately his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was loosened, and he spoke plainly. Then he commanded them that they should tell no one, but the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." Praise be for the blessing of his word. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, again, we pause in your presence to ask that you might move mightily in our understanding of this scripture. Pray that you would bless the words and our meditations of our hearts and our minds. And teach us, Lord, what we need to know. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever been nervous about meeting someone, maybe for the first time? You wanted to make a good impression on them, or maybe you were unsure how it would go. Maybe it was a first date. Maybe it was meeting your in-laws. Maybe it was a job interview, or maybe being called into the boss's office. Or maybe it was meeting a well-known person. I will always remember the opportunity I had to meet Dr. Charles Stanley. He was one of my preachers that I looked up to, and there was a pastor's gathering that was taking place in Washington, D.C., and so I made up my mind I was going to take off and go, and it was probably about 1,000 pastors there, mostly black men, and we had a good session with Dr. Stanley, and I was only sitting a couple rows back behind him. And he announced that at the break time that he would stay and be glad to meet us and sign any books or anything. And so there was a line that quickly formed. And so being close to the front, I was able to get up into the line fairly quickly and awaited my turn. And as I did, I got nervous. You know, what was I going to say? And what would he say? And what would we talk about? And so he was very quick to make me feel at ease, and was really most gracious in our conversation. And just really a wonderful person. I was so impressed with his humanity and his humility. He is what he seems on TV. He really is a down-to-earth type of person and loves the Lord. But there was another man that made me even more nervous. Probably the most nervous I've ever been. Most unsettled in all the encounters that I had with various people over the years. And that was the time when I was informed by members of the congregation that a man was coming to town briefly, and he was stopping at our church, and I was to meet him, and he was planning to meet his ride back to the big city. And so normally I would be glad to spend some time with anyone, and they said I should, you know, spend a little time with him and kind of wait with him until his ride came. Normally I'd look forward to such experience, but this time, as more I thought about it, the more worried I got about this encounter. I only had a few minutes before he was coming. And I was somewhat proficient in sign language. I was able to talk with the deaf people that were in our deaf fellowship. But this guy that they wanted me to meet was deaf and blind. And I thought, oh my, how are we going to communicate? I had never met a totally blind person before, excuse me, and I had never met a person who was deaf and blind. And so I was really worried. What would we talk about? How would we communicate? And to my great surprise, as he came into the fellowship hall, We sat down and we had a wonderful conversation together. Time just flew by, and as we waited for his ride, and he was obviously used to making people feel able at ease. He was certainly able to communicate so well, and we had no trouble understanding each other. I simply put my, he put his hands on my hand as I would sign, and he had no problem at all understanding me clearly. In fact, he made me feel like the handicapped person because he was such a remarkable individual. This was no ordinary deaf, disabled man, deaf and blind. He was not defined by those disabilities. He was self-employed. He had a chair cleaning business for many years. He adopted and raised a child. And he was a professor at Gallaudet University in Washington. And he traveled the world. and so sometimes we meet people who are just really astounding. And he was quite an inspiration. And I didn't need to be nervous. He certainly put me at ease. Our scripture for today is about a deaf man and the healing that he received from Jesus. And I just want to share a couple of points, 5 points that came with this scripture as I was looking into it. And I'm sharing some ideas that I got from Jeff Stott's sermon as well. But you know, the deaf man here probably didn't know about Jesus. Probably didn't understand what his friends were doing that day or who he was being taken to. So he wasn't nervous about meeting Jesus, and it was probably good that he wasn't, but he probably didn't know what was going to happen. The points that I'd like to make today is that, you know, Jesus knows our physical and spiritual needs. He knows our condition, there are people in our lives who are caring and concerned about us and want to help us. And Jesus meets us where we are, no matter what's going on. He cares. Jesus can set us free, and he wants us to be open, and he does all things well. And so, as we take a look at this scripture, I encourage you to take a look at your bulletin again. And so often we just kind of read over these things, but it's important. I learned in my trip to Israel that it's important to take notice where things are and where things happen in the scriptures. And so if you notice here that they're departing the region of Tyre and Sidon, and they're going through the region of the 10 cities, and this is in the area of the Sea of Galilee. This is one of the nicest, greenest areas of Israel. And this wasn't the first time that Jesus was in this area. Capernaum was his headquarters, but as he was traveling through these 10 cities, this was the area where he cast out the demonic spirits in the man, and the spirits went into the pigs, and the pigs went over the cliff. You remember that story? And the people were like, you know, depart from us, you know, get out of here. And they were more concerned about losing the herd of pigs than about what Jesus was trying to say. But now Jesus comes back into the area, and they're excited to see him. They welcome him warmly. And that's because by now the word has spread. Miracles have taken place, and they have gone to other cities. They've traveled there. His popularity is huge and is increasing. And so they are desiring to see another miracle. Matthew 15 here records for us a little bit about this incident. Matthew kind of gives us an overall view of what's happening in Jesus' healing ministry. But Mark gives us a little bit more details, and so he gives us this story about the deaf man. Here's what Matthew says about it. Jesus departed from there, skirted the Sea of Galilee, and went up on the mountain, sat down there. Then great multitudes came to him, having with them the lame, blind, mute, maimed, and many others, and they laid them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. So the multitude marveled when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed made whole, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. And so God got the glory for the miracles that were taking place, and the news spread. Now, if you heard that there was a new doctor in town, and he had wonderful results in your particular symptoms and problems, wouldn't you seek him out? Wouldn't you go to him? And so that's what people were doing. Jesus had the ability to heal, and they were taking everyone to see Jesus. I want to share five things here that as we take a look at this story that I think are very helpful. And the first is that Jesus knows about our physical and our spiritual conditions. You know, Jesus is the co-creator. He helped God in the beginning to make man and formed him out of the dust of the earth. And so Jesus certainly understands people. He knows what's in their hearts. He knows what they're thinking. And he knows the problems that they have. And so he knows about our desire to be whole and what our needs are. And certainly this deaf man was disconnected from society. One of the things that deafness does, or if you're even traveling and you're in another country and you don't know the language, it's a communication barrier that makes it awkward, right? And so for deaf people, it's awkward sometimes because of the deaf, because of the communication. It's more awkward for hearing people than it is for deaf people because they're used to dealing with the communication barrier on a daily basis. But for hearing people, we get all flustered because, oh my goodness, you know, what are we going to do? How are we going to communicate? And so Jesus is aware of these things, and he's clearly aware of what the deaf man needs, his both his spiritual and his physical needs. And they brought Jesus to him. And you know that we don't maybe fully realize how disconnected we are from God. Because of what's going on in our lives, because of sin, we don't sometimes are fully aware of how far we are from the Lord and what we need. And sometimes we're not able to function properly because of the distance between us and the Lord. And so we need him. We need Jesus. Secondly, you know, there are people in our lives who care. And thank God that God puts them in our path. He puts them in our lives. It might be a spouse. It might be a parent. It might be a family member. But people care. And if you have a person in your family who's having some difficulties, then oftentimes you're maybe trying to encourage them. Maybe you're helping them out. Maybe financially you're giving them some money. Or maybe you're praying for them, praying for their salvation of their soul. And so notice in this scripture that they brought the deaf man to Jesus. And then they begged Jesus, please put your hands on him. They had the confidence that Jesus could help. They couldn't do too much more than what they were already doing. But they had the confidence that Jesus would. And they cared about him. And so they got him to where Jesus was. They got through the crowds and were able to present this deaf man to Jesus, who was concerned. Most likely, someone brought you to Jesus. Maybe you can think back how you came to know the Lord. Maybe you were a child and your parents brought you to church. You didn't have much of a choice at that point. But maybe someone took you to a revival meeting or a Billy Graham crusade or some special event. Certainly there were people who were praying for your salvation. And at the right point, God opened your understanding. The light bulb came on. The Holy Spirit came into your life. And you asked Christ to save you from your sins, and you received salvation. Jesus touched us at that point. You know, statistics tell us that roughly about 80% of the people who are in church today are there because someone brought them. Someone invited them. Someone asked them to come. Maybe they picked them up, brought them to church. But over 80% of us are in church because someone else cared. And I think that's really one of the things, the keys here that we should see from this scripture. They brought him to Christ. They begged him to touch him, to heal him. And so we think of the Billy Graham Crusades. You know, that's one of the, I think, the keys to their success is that they invite people, please bring your friends, bring someone with you to the crusade. This isn't just a nice religious meeting that we're having, but this is an opportunity for maybe someone to come to know the Lord. And so many times people brought loved ones to the Billy Graham Crusade, and they were moved by the Spirit and went forward and received Christ. The third point here is that, you know, Jesus meets us where we are, and he cares about us. And so I want you to notice, you might not pick up on this if you're not familiar with deaf people, but, you know, in Frederick County, there were probably over 2,000, about 2,500 deaf people in Frederick County. And one of the reasons why there are so many deaf people among us is that we have the Maryland School for the Deaf here. So tremendous asset and blessing to have MSD here in our county. But, you know, there's about 2% of the total population are deaf, about 2%. And there's a wonderful community here, a great aspect for deaf people. And I'm just so thankful for, like, Peter Myers, who continues the ministry there at Frederick Church. Frederick Church has a strong deaf ministry. The Deaf Fellowship is like a church within a church. And another young boy that we had in deaf camp many years ago, Chris Hughes, has a deaf church. He's a deaf man. He does mission work to Cuba and other places in, around the world, reaching out to deaf not just here but around the world. And so I'm so thankful for these men who continue the ministry here in Frederick County. But notice that Jesus took this deaf man aside. And there were crowds there. And they had come to see a miracle. They heard about Jesus. Maybe they've encountered him before, but they came to see him. And basically, they wanted to see a miracle. And so Jesus takes the deaf man and the friends with him aside, and he deals with him privately. Jesus' ministry was to teach and to preach about the kingdom of God, and to bring salvation, not necessarily to do miracles. The miracles were to confirm that Jesus was real and that he was from God, and to help people to believe. But his sole ministry wasn't a healing ministry. And so he takes the man aside. He separates the deaf man from the crowd, probably then not to cater to the crowd. The crowd's persistent desire to see a miracle. They wanted to see something entertaining happening. And so he understands people. He understands their problems. And he understands what it was like for this man to be deaf. Now remember, this is a time when, unlike our age, when deaf people have so many advantages. But back then, it would have been very difficult. I think of my time in Jamaica. We support a deaf school there in Montego Bay. And in Jamaica, it's known as the Island of Children because they have so many children. And if a family has a deaf child, they look down upon the deaf child. They feel like the deaf child is dumb, that they can't learn. And so if funds are limited, the other children are sent to school, but not the deaf child. If there is food is limited at the table, the other children get to eat first before the deaf child. And so some people who have shown care and desire to help deaf people there in Jamaica have started a school. And they have roughly about 20 students in this school. And many times they come to the school and stay months and then go home for the summer. It used to be not too long ago that MSD was a residential building. And so can you imagine if you had a little one that was deaf, putting them on the school bus, kissing them goodbye on Monday morning and not seeing them until they got off the bus on Friday afternoon. They would stay the week at MSD. So MSD had residential counselors that provided the presence of mom and dad while they were at school. So Jesus understood what it was like for this man to be deaf, and he separates him from the crowd. He identifies with him. He gets him from being distracted. One of the things that deaf people are very good at is seeing. And so just the least little bit of distraction on the horizon or on the side can cause them to look away. And so he pulls him away from the crowd and says to him, I'm going to give you my undivided attention, and also I want your undivided attention so you're not distracted. And so he kind of identifies with this deaf man emotionally as well. Now, more likely, it was that he wanted God to get the glory. And as he wanted to deal privately with him versus publicly. I think about sometimes TV evangelists. There's the healing ministries that you'll see on TV. And they'll very charismatically be going through the crowd and touch someone and they fall over. You know, it's very dramatic and, it gets good TV ratings, doesn't it? And so sometimes we wonder, is that real? Is God really doing something in their lives? Jesus didn't want to deal with that. He didn't want to be a showman. He wanted to deal with this guy privately. And it might be that, the deaf man didn't really know what was going on, but by Jesus taking him aside, it might have piqued his interest. Well, who is this guy? Why, what's happening? I think Jesus wanted to show him that he's just a really unique individual, and Jesus cared about him. The fourth point is that Jesus can set us free, and he wants us to be open. This really, I think, demonstrates really profound compassion on Jesus' part. He communicates in gestures and nonverbal signs, basic sign language. So let me share 5 points about that. First, Jesus puts his fingers in the deaf man's ears. His ears are already stopped, so why are you putting fingers in there? So he's pointing out, recognizing that he's diagnosing the man's problem. Is it a physical problem? He is not stunted mentally. He's not dumb. He is not possessed by demons, as some probably thought. Years ago, I went with a dear sister to Sykesville. It was first time in a mental hospital, and I was nervous about going to see him. But we wanted to see a young deaf boy. His name was Randy, and that we had care and concern that he was okay. And so basically, he got into the system. He had gotten into a little trouble because of his deafness, and they were considering him to be mentally unstable, even maybe demon-possessed. And so when we went and sat down and talked with him, clearly that was not the case. He was in his right mind and just was around people that were unable to communicate with him. He eventually was able to get out of the system and had a good life. But people thought, he must be something, there's something wrong with him. By putting his fingers in the deaf man's ears, he was saying that I'm going to open your ears. I recognize that your problem is physical. Secondly, it says that he spat on his fingers and he touched his tongue. Now, in our germophobic age that we're experiencing right now with COVID, we might think that was kind of odd or strange, but back then people thought the saliva had healing properties. And I don't know if you've ever cut yourself or something, but maybe you've licked a wound or something, and so they thought that saliva was really helpful. And so this demonstrated to the deaf man that he understood what he was going to do. This wasn't some sort of act of magic, but this healing was going to come. And so he was removing the deafness, the physical disability in his ears. He was going to be removing the blockage in his mouth so he could speak plainly. Third, Jesus looks up to heaven. And I think probably most of all, this demonstrated the fact that Jesus was calling on the Father. He was praying. He was letting the deaf man know where the healing was coming from. And so this reinforced all the truth that Jesus was speaking, that it is God alone who brings the healing. Doctors can do what they can do. They can prescribe treatments. They can do procedures. But really, the healing ultimately then has to come from God. And so it is God alone who is able to do this for him. And then fourth, notice that Jesus sighs deeply. He doesn't speak here at this point, but he lets out this tremendous groan. And I think it's a groan of pain, of hurt, of anguish, because of Jesus recognizes what all has gone on since the original sin. Since the Garden of Eden, sin has entered the world, and all of this has taken place. And this is not how we created the world to be. We didn't want people to go through all these problems, especially having to experience life without sound. And so he knew what the deaf man was enduring, being deaf and mute. And he says, I understand, I care. By letting out this great groan, this great sigh. Now, I don't know about you, but with all that's going on in the world today, and Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, I suspect he's letting out a couple of sighs. He's probably shaking his head like, oh, Lord. What are they doing down there? What is going on? Why? And he knows that the hour is coming. It's closer and closer when he can return and put an end to this and bring peace. And so I just imagine Jesus letting out a great sigh that all that's going on among us. And then fifth, finally, he speaks. Epitha means be open in Aramaic, Jesus' natural tongue. Be open. Instantly, the scriptures say that the man could hear clearly and speak plainly. Now, is that not a miracle? Imagine if you couldn't hear sounds. You can't hear the birds. Can't hear the rain. You could see these things, but the sound of the wind or the tree leaves who fall, the sound of a baby crying, the laughter of children, all of these sounds you aren't aware of. And then all of a sudden, a flood of sound comes into your being. All at once. Now, I'd imagine this was another reason why Jesus took the man aside from the crowd. Because crowds are noisy, right? And so he wanted to reduce the amount of input that the man would receive. So it was really good that he moved him away from the crowd. But he goes from silence to perfect surround sound. What a miracle. I wonder, the scriptures don't say what the deaf man said. What would have been his first clear words? Right, praise God, don't you think? Praise God. Charles Stanley said, oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing. I'd imagine just the overwhelm, the man was feeling overwhelmed and just probably lifted up praise for God. And can you imagine what Jesus is doing at this point? I think he's just smiling ear from ear. His biggest smile, laughing with men, so joyful, so happy for him. And then the people realize the miracle's taking place, and they're amazed. You know, there's been lots of other miracles going on, but his friends were up close and saw this. And it says that the people say that he does all things well. He does all things well. There is nothing that Jesus can't do. And so Jesus says, now, I need you not to tell people about this, you know. The crowds are already swelling. His popularity is already growing. They want to see more miracles. You know, it's not my time to be made king. They want to push the Romans out and put Jesus in authority. And he's like, you need to keep this quiet here. You need to keep the lid on this for a little bit. But the more he tells them, the more, how can you not tell? The people are beyond themselves with amazement. Yesterday we were outside working in the yard, and my neighbor came out. She was all excited because she had gone down the day before and saw the flooding in Baker Park. And I don't know if you know, the flood control down there is to help with the downtown Frederick, but it backs up into Baker Park, and so there's a covered bridge there near Frederick Church, and the water was up covered, you know, all the way around the bridge and everything, and she'd gone down there, and she was all excited, you know, and so she had to tell somebody. So she saw us outside, and she had to come out and tell us about the flooding. Well, can you imagine if you've seen a miracle? Wouldn't you tell? Wouldn't you want to tell? How could you not tell? And so they're continuing to share about what Jesus has done. The people are amazed. The word here means that he does all things well. He does things right. He does things correct. He does things wonderful. He does things amazing. Amazing. He does all things well. Henry Morris says, Jesus indeed hath done all things well. One strong evidence of his deity is this very fact. No matter how carefully one studies his words and his deeds, no real fault can be found in any of them. No deficiency, nothing to retract, nothing to change at all. Everything he did or said was exactly right for each occasion. That's what the Lord can do. Fred Craddock says that he makes even the deaf to hear. The miracle is for those who, during Jesus' ministry, are not only blind but blinded, not only deaf but deafened. Their lack of hearing and seeing is the result of God's sovereign act. The healing story anticipates the future, post-Easter time, when their present deafness, blindness, and inability to speak will be taken away, not at their attainment but as the gift of God. And the disciples will find the eschatological promise of Isaiah 35 being fulfilled in their own experience. Isaiah said many years before, hundreds of years before, he said, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the deaf sing, for waters shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. So how about you? When you think about what the Lord's done in your life, wouldn't you say that you have been blessed? Wouldn't you say that God has done all things well? What has God done for you? Wouldn't you feel like praising God for the blessings of salvation? You know, he reached out to us when we were yet still lost. When we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us. He reached us in our sins. He's given us rest for our souls. He's working on a place in heaven for us. He's guided our footsteps all along the way. He's opened the right doors. He has provided protection for us. He's given us peace when the world can't give. He has put you in a particular family. He has placed you in this country. He has helped you, and I'm sure, in your work, in your career, maybe in some promotions. He's given you a spouse, children, grandchildren, maybe even great-grandchildren. He gives us health and breath each day. We have so much to praise God for. And Jesus says, Ephatha, be open. Jesus cares, and he has the power to change lives. And I hope that you've seen that, if not in your own life, in the lives of others. You know, I think we all have disabilities. We all have problems. We all have things that we need to deal with. And in some ways, maybe we're spiritually deaf and spiritually mute. But we can go to one who does all things well. Jesus, one who is God incarnate. And when we hear God's word and we accept him, we can speak his praises then, because we can't help but to share. We can't help but tell others about what God has done for us. And we go from silence to surround sound. Surround sound. Maybe you're familiar with that. Boyce has one of probably the best systems, but it's able to hear music in a very unique way. It's a technique that enriches the fidelity and the depth of the sound reproduced by using multiple audio channels from speakers that surround the listener. This got to be very popular in movie theaters. Surround sound. From silence to surround sound. That's what Jesus can do. He is the best when it comes to physical and spiritual problems. He heard our cry. He gives us rest for our soul. He saves us from our sins. He forgives us. He brings us back into fellowship with God. He gives us a peace that is beyond the world's understanding. Jesus does all things well. And he says to this deaf man, and hopefully to us, be open. Epitha. God wants our ears to be completely opened. He wants us to hear. Those who have ears to hear, let them hear. Lord wants us to have ears in our hearts to hear what he is saying by his Spirit, to listen to his word, and to be open and to receive his truth. He wants our mouths to be open so that we can speak, to speak plainly and to tell others about the truth of the good news of Jesus Christ, to love others, to open our mouths. Maybe in that situation when that person comes across their path, and if you want, well, should I say something or shouldn't, you know? to take the risk, to open up with praise to God, to intercede, to make requests for others. And God wants our lives to be open, to open our lives up. You know, our lives are like a book, and people can read us. Others that we work with, our neighbors, they see when we come and go. They see what we do. They see whether our walk matches our talk. And they know. And so our lives are like an open book. And God wants our lives to be open so that they can see the changes that God is doing in our lives. And they might desire that for themselves. To seek new directions for life. To do his will. And when we do, we're completely amazed. We're amazed. I wouldn't be here today if it wouldn't be for the gracious hand of God and how he's led down through the years. When I look back at very key points in my life, I know that God has led me this far. And so he says to us to be open. To be open. We need to be more open now than ever. In the midst of this pandemic, we still need to encounter people. We need to share with people, because Jesus is the only answer. He's the only one who really cares and really understands and really knows and has the power to change lives. And we have lots of problems, lots of disabilities. A lot of people are seeking things spiritually and looking in the wrong places. They are deaf and they're mute. But it is Jesus who does all things well. And it is him that we need to go to. And so I encourage you to hear his word, to speak his praises, to follow Christ. From silence to surround sound, be open. Would you pray with me, please? Omnipotent and all-knowing God, our Father in heaven, we praise your holy name. We praise you, Lord, for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that dwells within. And we just ask, Lord, that you would open our ears that we may hear, open our eyes that we may see, open our mouths that we may tell, open our hearts that we may love. Open our minds that we may understand your truth, and open our spirits that we may be led of you. Help us, Lord, to hear and speak your word, to love, to live lives that are changed, to be an open book for all to read. May we be open to all that you have for us. May we follow your will. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. We'll close our service by singing together number 517. Would you join me in standing? Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.